Welcome to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast, brought to you by Flowpath. I'm your host, Griffin Hamilton. This is the show where I interview industry experts who share their stories, strategies, and insights into modern-day facilities management. From hospitality to commercial real estate and everything in between, we'll learn what it really takes to succeed as a facilities manager. Welcome to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast. Today, I'm pleased to have Morten Broger. Morten is a CEO of Maps People. Morten, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, thanks. I'm actually in Europe, so it's pretty late night, but I'm doing well. I'm doing very well, Griffin.
Well, I guess good evening to you.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm sure folks are going to see in the show notes a little bit more about who you are, but why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your background and what's led you to be the CEO of Maps People?
Yeah, I can. I've lived my entire professional life in enterprise sales, a little bit in telco, but the predominant part in software and software as a service. And after doing a lot of different things, my path crossed into this opportunity with Maps People, which I found super interesting because I could see here was a new space where digitalization hasn't really happened yet. So it's a new market with a lot of growth where you can actually help make a lot of things better. So I thought that would be an interesting opportunity to help the current team at Maps People to see what, how do we maximize and utilize this technology to do some amazing things together?
Yeah, and help has been a word that you've said multiple times. And I think a lot of people, they hear sales or they hear business development and they think of it just being a little bit of the, you know, traditional or I guess stereotypical used car salesman, but it really is consulting and helping with people. And so tell the audience a little bit more on what Maps People does and how you're helping the world of facilities management.
Yeah, I can do that. So Maps People is actually, you know, it's not a young company. It's not like a young startup. It's a company who started making paper maps like we used to, like how to find things, and you could basically look it up. And it's managed to transition through, let's just call it many, many decades. And then a transition into the digitalization. And managed to find a way to use those core competences of mapping into a new digital world. So today what we really do is indoor maps. Just like, you know, Google Maps and Apple Maps and all that stuff from the outside, but they focus on where they can drive a car, where they have a satellite photo. Both of these things are very difficult on the inside of a building's wall. And that's what we do. So we fundamentally help mapping the built world. And that has multiple use cases. An indoor map can also be called a digital twin of the building. And the digital twins or the indoor maps we build using technology from either Google or Mapbox, it allows to digitize a building, normally from CAD drawings or another drawing. And then we fundamentally digitize that and make that into a map using our machine learning activities. But this map has a very high level of a technology stack as such, right? It's the fundamental map. There's a content management system, so you can put points of interest and move things around in this one by yourself. It has multiple layers, and you can integrate different software applications or hardware applications like sensors in to our platform, and they can display status or data in real time into the map, which then provides different views based on the user login profile that you have. So this could be a map for like desk booking or meeting room booking for employee, or it could be for oxygen level and air circulation sensors for the facility management or heating, occupancy, and a lot of different stuff. So these are the things that we do. I hope that was a little bit helpful, Griffin.
It certainly is. And what's interesting is that last piece of what you just mentioned, the integration, because, I mean, this has been a theme on the podcast has been the different tech brought up here over the years in facilities management, and it can be overwhelming at times, and there's not one tool that does everything, or at least does it well. And so having those partnerships and integrations, it's critical. And you mentioned the different use cases and totally in different ends of the spectrum of, you know, workspace management and the floor plans that you're managing out there to the IoT devices that you're actually learning what your assets are doing day in and day out and being proactive and predicting when they're set to fail. And so it's interesting on both sides of that, how it applies.
Yeah. And that leads me just to one important clarification. You just brought my mind into this one. I forgot about it. So thank you, Griffin. It's really that our application is more like a platform as a service, right? We don't develop the end user application as such. We have a vast number of partners who has application or has hardware sensors that all requires a map to give the ultimate end user experience, right? So this, you know, we have like dozens and dozens of partners, and we're signing up new partners every day for multiple different verticals and multiple different use cases. So this is what we help enable, making those application that makes your building smarter in a multitude of different ways.
I understand. I appreciate the clarity there. And for someone listening, because mapping, it can be overwhelming. And that's a lot of folks don't really know how to take that first step or where to even begin. And so in your experience working in facilities management, what do you find to be the easiest win or the lowest hanging fruit whenever you're trying to digitize workflows and digitizing floor plans, layouts, and what you guys are really taking head on?
Yeah, I think there's not necessarily a lot of easy things here, right? But it has, I think what we have to remember when we're making a digital twin of our building, right? In my opinion, that should be a piece of infrastructure. But there is multiple use cases on top of them. And it is a waste of resources to make a new map every time you come across a new application that requires a map of the building or a digital twin of it, right? It should be technology that could be shared amongst different applications, different hardware sensors. And this is exactly what our software stack can do. So that makes it easier and cheaper, because clearly creating a map out of CAD drawings costs money. Maintain it every time you have a change, whether that change is a logical change, or we put a new screen or TV or chair or fridge or whatever it is in this room, or whether it's a physical change, we build a wall, right? And for the latter part, the updates, we have this pretty cool machine learning activities. And for large enterprises, we also integrate into the IVMS system, which means if you and your facility management system have updates, we have large customers with many, many, many buildings, hundreds of buildings, and many, many hundreds of floors, who actually send updates of the map between 30 and 200 updates on a daily basis, where we then update the maps fully automated and push them back into this one. And clearly, you see, if you needed to do that on a manual basis, it probably would never happen because it's just simply too expensive, right? So these are some of the complicated things that our technology helps make simpler and easier so that you can expand that number of use cases in a financial viable way.
Hey listeners, real quick. This is Alex Cummings, CEO of Flowpath, an industry-leading CMMS designed and built by operators to fit the scale of any organization. I'm excited to share with you that Flowpath now offers a tier for teams that just need core CMMS functionality on simple monthly contracts and at a price that makes sense. We call it Flowpath Core, and it runs on the same powerful Flowpath software that thousands of professionals rely on every day. So come check us out at getflowpath.com and see just how easy it is to get started with a software designed to fit your needs. Oh, and mention this ad and you'll get 10% off your core subscription. Okay, enough from me, back to the show.
You mentioned machine learning. And so over the last year, in particular, AI, machine learning, those are the buzzwords out there. And so tying it to, you know, creating that digital twin, I think that's fascinating because of the manual process that you're eliminating there. What has that evolution been like over the last 12, 36, you know, 60 months implementing AI machine learning?
Fairly rapid, right? first of all, the market is getting ready to digitize the building. And, you know, there's a demand, right? That creates a problem, and then you need to start solving that problem. And the issue with machine learning is you need to do a little bit of research, and then you need to train the machines to learn stuff, right? For instance, there's probably like 5,000 different ways to make a door in AutoCAD, right? And it has to be able to recognize those and then basically say, okay, this is a door, and I put a door, and it's not a wall, it's not a chair. And these things are important because if you need to provide, for instance, indoor navigation, or you're from outside all the way in, or even from inside all the way out, you need to be able to draw the routes, and you need to make sure that the map understands where can you walk and where can you not walk. And with some of the new requirements coming in here around accessibility, you know, it's actually different to navigate someone who can walk in a building and someone who's in a wheelchair who cannot use stairs. So you need to basically, based on the login user profile, you need to create the right type of route that works for the individual. And this, of course, takes a little bit of time. But when you get more customers, when you start training this one, it actually becomes very, very powerful. And these are one of the reasons we are chosen by very large enterprises, but also partners, technology partners, hardware partners, and software partners who work with very large enterprises. It's our capability to integrate into these IBMS systems and make sure that the map do these automated updates, because otherwise it simply wouldn't really work in a viable way from a financial point of view.
Sure. And looking ahead, I mean, what are you expecting to see in the next 2-3 years in this space with AI machine learning evolving as quickly as it is? I mean, what impact is that going to have on facilities management and specifically the digital twin that you're referring to?
I think some of the map creation and map maintenance gets a lot easier. I think writing the different codes and writing the integrations into software application becomes easier and cheaper, and that will open up the market both downwards, upwards, and outwards to a very large extent. But I also see that whole new use cases are coming with AI. You know, I was lucky enough to be one of the Gartner events and speaking to some of the consultants, just to give you an example, right? Some of the future AI use cases around collaboration, how do we work together at work, fundamentally allows that these big collaboration tools, they understand what you're working on, which documents are you working on, who are you working with, what is your deadlines, when is the colleagues you're working with in the office, so it might make sense for you to go to this office and book a desk close to them and book a meeting room, because like innovation is actually better when you're together, whereas routine tasks you can easily do at home, right? So these are these whole new AI kind of use cases on how people work that fundamentally will open up a lot of the use cases where you can use your building smarter if you somehow digitize it and put these application into real use. The other thing that is becoming super important, which also is getting powered by this computing, capabilities, right, is the end user visibility. We're talking about maps. We are platform as a service. We are how you visualize your application, how it works in your building, right? And for end users, how it looks is going to be really different, which is also why we have launched capabilities to do some of the coolest 3D mappings that you will see out there. You'll have a whole different user experience in that way. And on top of that, we're talking to partner who builds all these augmented reality capabilities, but they need a map on top of it so they can do this, right? So it's going to be, whether that's in retail and whether it's other sites, you know, all this is playing together and it's all fueled by these different capabilities, and it opens a lot of use cases. And I think exciting the end user while delivering these productivity gains, like optimizing your real estate footprint to exactly what you need, or maximizing the revenue from the real estate footprint you have, is going to be much, much easier.
Yeah, and on that, I think it could be overwhelming to a lot of people when you're looking at these new technologies and how quickly it's evolving, and a little scary at some point. What resistance do you find to be the most common when we're talking about using augmented reality, we're talking about AI, machine learning, and how it impacts obviously the actual building and what you're doing with it and how you're interacting with the building, but that's the day in and day out of how we operate and how we work. And so what resistance have you seen so far, and what do you expect to see?
I don't really think I see a lot of resistance. Still a very, very new and very young market, right, which is basically evolving, but it's evolving very, very rapidly now. I think rather than resistance, I would say reluctance. It's an uncertainty about what is the right use case to start with. Because we can't just like wave the magic wand and everything is smart in the building and the life is perfect, right? It's not how we do it. It's just like building a building. You need to start with a foundation, which in my opinion should be the digital twin. And then you have all these use cases, software applications, hardware, sensors that you integrate on it one by one by one. And there are different set of urgencies for different use cases. So it's very hard to do this. This is also why we have a partner first strategy and why we have so many partners, because they have these end user application that can be used for the digital twin, right? And we're actually seeing a whole new trend with us from the partners, right? We start getting our primary partners are either what we call an OEM partner. They have an application. They need a map in the application. It is technology partners. We have a hardware technology and it needs to show something on a map. But now we see a third type of partners coming in, which is system integrators. They don't really have their own hardware. They don't really have their own application. They are integrating and putting these pieces together on behalf of the end customer, right? Because it's getting so complicated that actually digitizing building is now becoming a system integrator task. And to me, that's just another proof that this is happening at a fairly rapid pace right now. I don't know. I hope that answered your question, Griffin. It's very different from customer to customer. And I think it's more like reluctancy, and it's based on where should I actually start?
Yeah, I love that you're calling that out, because it is a bit of reluctance, and it will be a little bit more clear as time goes on of what that first step would be. And it goes from overwhelming to best practices. And until we get to that point, it's going to be an interesting ride, to say the least. But I think just taking and accepting what technology can do for you and making the most of it. I mean, there's just so much data behind how much more you could productive you could be. And it's just fascinating to see how, you know, what you're talking about on the surface maps, but what the big picture is and the impact that has is tremendous.
Yeah, it is, right? And it's literally touching everything that happens in the inside world, right? That's why we say we're mapping or digitizing the build world. That's really what we do. And there's so much happening inside. And a lot of these things is being digitized and becoming smarter, which fundamentally just increases productivity and outcome of the real estate we have. And that's part of how you grow a company, becoming more efficient, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Morten, I have one last question for you, and I ask everybody. And that is, who or what has had the biggest impact on you and your career?
Who and what has the biggest impact on my career? I think when I was young and I worked for the Danish national incumbent telco, we won a national bid for the digital signature in Denmark, which is now a piece of infrastructure. You sign your taxes with it. You can even get divorced online with it. You log on to your banks. All the banks have the same log-on solution, right? So it's a piece of infrastructure that enabled digitalization of the Danish society. So a lot of things, both in the private sector and in relation with the government, is now electronic. You don't have to show up or fill up something or sign something, scan it, and send it, all that stuff, right? So that made me understand that if you actually build an infrastructure with the purpose to be shared, you can actually make serious progress. So that is probably one of the things that taught me a lot. Has there been people around me? Yes, there have. I had a French boss once who taught me a lot of skills on how to focus and how to make a lot of progress in things. And I owe him a lot on how I work on a daily basis, right? So if that would be a person, and that would be a project that I've been involved in.
Yeah, that's great. And like I said, it's always interesting to hear you know, what people have done throughout their career and how it's had an impact, and it still continues to have an impact on them. And there's always a who. We're always, if you're progressing your career, you rely on folks to help you up. And it's always fascinating to hear that. But once again, Morten, thank you for coming on the show. This has been great. And until next time, be good.
Thank you, Griffin.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast. Make sure to subscribe for future episodes and follow us on LinkedIn for more facilities management content.